But without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Alejandro Bodar, who's a speaker from the Workers' Socialist Movement, the MST, in Argentina. He's also the coordinator of the International Socialist League. He'll be giving a talk and he'll be translated by Louis Miners here. So I'll hand it over.
¿Arrancamos?
Sí, ya puedes empezar.
Bueno. Bueno, gracias a todos los compañeros, compañeras que han organizado el evento por invitarnos a participar. Yo voy a tratar de hacer un reconto de los últimos 20 años, muy breve, no voy a demorarme mucho en el reconto, pero para entender la situación actual, sobre todo en los gobiernos, ¿no es cierto?, los gobiernos progresistas o nacionalistas que hemos tenido, es importante ver lo que pasó en estos 20 años.
So, hello, comrades. Thanks for the invitation. I would like to start by doing a synthesis of the past 20 years, which is going to try to do a synthesis of the last 20 years, because it's very important to try to understand the moment in which we are now in Latin America, to see the different stages of the last 20 years, especially the experience with the so-called pink tide governments, sometimes called in Latin America as nationalists or progressive governments, that experience to understand the moment that we are in now.
Han sido 20 años muy ricos desde todo punto de vista, porque ha habido muchos acontecimientos muy dinámicos de la lucha de clases, idas y vueltas, avances, retrocesos, pero de conjunto ha habido un aprendizaje por parte del movimiento obrero y de masas, y por lo tanto estamos viviendo actualmente un periodo que tiene que ver con esa acumulación de los últimos 20 años. Un periodo muy dinámico, ¿no? Muy, muy, muy dinámico de la lucha de clases, donde todavía están en proceso de desarrollo muchos acontecimientos.
So these past 20 years have been very rich with different events in terms of class struggle. All of these events in the class struggle have also meant that there has been an accumulation in terms of experiences for the working class in different popular sectors. And this accumulation and this learning has had an impact in the current situation. That's why it's important to understand what's going on now, just to see that it is related with all of these processes of class struggle. It has been two very dynamic decades with many important events in terms of class struggle, some of them that are still evolving at present.
A principios del nuevo siglo, del siglo XXI, se dieron en casi toda Latinoamérica un ciclo de rebeliones y de grandes confrontaciones de clase que barrieron el periodo neoliberal que se había instaurado desde los 90 y que se pudo instaurar sobre la base de derrotas importantes. A principio del siglo termina el periodo neoliberal y es derrotado el neoliberalismo en el continente.
So at the start of the 21st century, there was almost all of Latin America was crossed by a cycle of rebellions and upsurge in class struggle that put an end to the previous period that had been marked by a neoliberal offensive. So these rebellions that happened in different countries in Latin America at the turn of the century or in the early years of the 21st century put an end to the neoliberal experience en Latin America.
Surgieron distintos tipos de gobiernos que podíamos mencionarlos como populistas, aunque no fueron de distintos tipos los gobiernos que surgieron en ese periodo.
From that period there emerged different governments that we could put together as a general denomination, as populist, but there were different type of governments that emerged in this period after the rebellions.
El proceso más avanzado fue Venezuela, porque hubo una revolución muy profunda que barrió con el viejo régimen y del cual emergió después de un resultado electoral, un golpe de Estado y una acción muy fuerte del movimiento de masas, lo que fue el chavismo.
So the most advanced process was the one in Venezuela, where the old regime was completely destroyed through a series of processes, rebellions, elections, a coup d'etat, and then a rebellion that ended the coup d'etat. So all of that process meant that there was a greater radicalization.
Aunque hubo rebeliones en distintos países, en mi país, en el 2001, hubo una rebelión que tal vez fue una de las más profundas. Pero hubo procesos, ¿no? Bueno, todos ustedes sabrán, en Ecuador, en Bolivia, cambios de gobierno, no sé, en Brasil. Bueno, el proceso abarcó prácticamente a todo el continente, en Perú, en Paraguay, es decir, en casi todos los países, ¿no es cierto? Surgieron nuevos gobiernos de este proceso.
So, but there were processes in almost every country of Latin America. For example, in our country, in Argentina, in 2001, there was probably one of the deepest and more profound rebellions. But there was also Ecuador. There was also Bolivia, Brazil, Peru, Paraguay. So in most of the countries of Latin America, in this period, there emerged there were changes in the governments and there were rebellions.
Ahora, los gobiernos, pese a que fue parte de un mismo proceso continental, no fueron lo mismo, porque donde hubo rebeliones o revoluciones inconscientes, como las queramos llamar, no me quiero meter en un tema de terminología, los procesos fueron gobiernos, ¿no es cierto?, más de centroizquierda que en aquellos donde no hubo rebeliones y sí cambios de gobierno por la vía institucional, como Brasil, por ejemplo, para mostrar dos polos, por uno Venezuela y el otro Brasil. En el medio hubo toda una serie de combinaciones. Por ejemplo, en Argentina hubo un reciclamiento de las viejas estructuras del peronismo. En Brasil sale el PT, en Venezuela el chavismo, ¿no? Pero los procesos son distintos. Es como que hay tres distintos bloques.
So these governments that emerged from similar process as they had a common origin, but they had differences among them. On the one hand, some of them that had emerged after processes of rebellions or revolutions, depends on what type of concept we are using to analyze this. But beyond the concept that we use, the processes that emerged in after these very high moments in class struggle were different than the changes in government that happened through institutional means. So, for example, if we were to establish two very different cases, one was the one of Venezuela that had a lot of class struggle, as we mentioned before. And another one different was the case of Brazil, where Lula arrived to power through elections and sustaining the same institutions that existed before. Argentina, for example, is a hybrid where you had a rebellion, but also the government that emerged, Kirchnerism, was recycled the old structures of the regime, the Peronist Party. So you have at least two or three different types of governments that emerge within this what we could call the pink tide.
El auge de los gobiernos populistas en sus distintas variantes duró en la medida que hubo una situación extraordinaria de captura de renta a través de los commodities y de la venta de materias primas, ¿no es cierto?, que vino desde el centro a la periferia. Y ese fue un periodo de mucho auge de los gobiernos y de fortalecimientos. Ahora, ninguno de los gobiernos, ninguno utilizó las enormes cantidades de divisas que entraban a los países fruto de los commodities para industrializar al país, ni tampoco para revertir los cambios estructurales que se habían producido en la década de los 90 con el neoliberalismo. Ninguno. Lo que se hizo fueron mínimas reformas. Y en los países donde hubo más, una revolución más profunda, se tomaron algunas medidas un poquito más avanzadas. Venezuela, Bolivia.
So the period of in which these governments were strengthened coincided with the period of economic expansion of the what is called the commodity boom, a moment of very high international prices of commodities, of the commodities that Latin America traditionally exports. So this cycle coincided with the political cycle of these governments coincided with that economic cycle. So it was that was their period in which they strengthened. They became stronger. But nevertheless, it's important to remember and to stress that none of these governments made structural changes to the economies or reversed the neoliberal structural changes. So none of them did strong reforms. At best, some of them did very minor reforms. There were a bit deeper reforms in the governments that emerged after periods of very high periods of class struggle. For example, in the cases of Bolivia or Venezuela, the reforms were a bit, there were more reforms because there had been a much more class struggle before. So, but it's important to remember that these governments didn't change the economic structure that they had inherited.
El grueso de los recursos que entraron se fue en pago de deuda externa. Y por supuesto, algo derramó en subir un poquito el nivel de los salarios y distribución de la renta, pero muy mínimo, porque se pagaron tal vez en ese periodo las mayores cantidades de deuda de toda la desde los 70 para acá. En nuestro país, por ejemplo, se pagaron 220 mil millones de dólares en ese periodo en concepto de deuda externa. Y eso pasó en casi todos los países. Ahí fue el grueso de los recursos y un poquito para distribuir.
So most of the resources that came into the countries during this commodity boom were used to pay external debt, which was one of the major issues, or it still is one of the major issues in Latin America. So there was most of these resources, the bulk of the resources went, of the income that these countries received went to external debt payments. And there were, a small part was spent in wealth distribution. But compared to the payment of debt, it's very, very, very small. So for example, in the case of Argentina, during those years, Argentina paid $220 billion in terms of external debt.
Incluso en Venezuela y en Bolivia, que eran los procesos más avanzados, se siguió pagando deuda.
Venezuela y Bolivia continued to pay the debt.
Y si bien se tomaron algunas medidas para recuperar el control de los recursos naturales, en ningún momento se dejó de colaborar con las empresas extranjeras en el petróleo o en lo que es los minerales en Bolivia.
And even in these countries, as Venezuela and Bolivia, where they took some small measures in terms of recovering part of their natural resources or as oil and gas and minerals. But they did this in a model which was in collaboration with the multinational corporations.
Venezuela intentó y conversó con Argentina la posibilidad de tomar algún tipo de medida de cierta independencia en lo económico del imperialismo, la creación de un banco del sur que permitiera, ¿no es cierto?, un intercambio más parejo, pero fue bloqueada por Brasil, que actuó como el subimperialismo latinoamericano con Lula a la cabeza para bloquear todo tipo de iniciativa tendiente a un desarrollo autónomo, y quedó bastante sola Venezuela en ese sentido. Argentina fue timorata, fue y vino, pero al final se terminó subordinando a Brasil, que son las dos potencias del sur, ¿no? Que son las dos potencias del sur, Brasil, Argentina. México estuvo más ausente.
Venezuela was the country that possibly attempted more type of anti-imperialist politics in terms of, for example, trying to to establish a Bank of the South and to gain some relative independence from the international financial institutions and imperialism. And it tried to do this with Argentina, but it was blocked essentially by Brazil, which was governed by Lula at the time. So Lula's Brazil act as a regional imperialist power, blocking any type of attempt towards an autonomous development or autonomous politics from imperialism. So, and Argentina finally took the same stance of Brazil. And it's important to say that these are the two main countries of the south of the continent. Mexico was essentially outside of this whole process.
La crisis capitalista del 2008 fue letal para todos los países latinoamericanos y para todos los gobiernos. Porque al bajar los precios de los commodities, de las materias primas, y al no tomar ninguno medidas consecuentemente antiimperialistas y mucho menos anticapitalistas, empezaron a deteriorarse. Todos los gobiernos, incluso los gobiernos más avanzados como Venezuela o como empezaron a hacer contrarreformas también, ¿no? Que es el periodo de contrarreforma y de ajuste al movimiento de masa frente a la crisis, sin tocar los intereses capitalistas, ¿no? Y en ese sentido se unificaron todos. Y eso fue minando las bases, ¿no es cierto? Hasta que terminarían unos años después en la caída de los distintos gobiernos o en el cambio de contenido del propio gobierno venezolano, que de una etapa de reformas pasó a contrarreformas. Como y Cuba también entró en ese mismo proceso en ese periodo.
So the capitalist crisis of 2008-2009 was lethal towards the continent and all of these governments. Essentially, the fall in the price of the international price of commodities meant that these governments that had not taken any structural measures to change the capitalist nature of their economies, that had not been taken measures, anti-imperialist, real anti-imperialist measures, and were still very much dependent on imperialism. When the crisis hit and the commodity prices fell, this weakened the structural basis of all of these governments, because they had no longer had resources for the redistribution of wealth. So in this period after the crisis, all of these governments were not only economically weakened, but also politically weakened. And that is the origin of their crisis. The fact that they had not in the previous period taken more measures, anti-capitalist and anti-imperialist measures. So instead of advancing against the capitalist interests, all of these governments, even the ones that had some small differences between them, these two or three different types of governments that we could identify, all of them were united in applying austerity measures and not touching the interests of the capitalists. So this started to erode their social base and was the explanation of eventually why they lost the power through elections, or they, in some cases, the remaining in power, the nature of the government changed. For example, in the case of Venezuela, while remaining in power, it went from a phase of reforms to a phase of counter reforms and austerity.
Y Cuba, ¿no?
And Cuba as well. A similar process happened in Cuba.
Empezó el proceso de restauración.
A process of capitalist restoration.
Esto fue deteriorado. Al no avanzar, sino retroceder y ajustar al movimiento de masa, empezaron a deteriorarse y sobre ya la segunda década del siglo empezaron incluso a perder en muchos casos el gobierno y empezó a surgir una ola de derecha que, más que implicar un giro a derecha del movimiento de masa, o sea, fue el deterioro de los gobiernos progresistas, y frente a la ausencia de una dirección alternativa, se fortalecieron gobiernos como el de Bolsonaro versus Lula, Macri versus Kirchner, Lenín Moreno versus Correa, Piñera, Duque, un proceso continental donde una derecha, aunque nosotros siempre caracterizamos que iba a ser efímero el proceso de la derecha, porque no podían, porque tenían una tarea titánica, que era derrotar al movimiento de masas, y el movimiento de masas estaba fuerte, no estaba débil, estaba desorientado, pero no se iba a dejar ajustar. Y bueno, nosotros creemos que eso se cumplió rápidamente, pero hubo un ciclo de 4 o 5 años donde un ciclo de derecha, pero explicado bien esta contradicción.
So there was this process led to a new cycle of in which right-wing governments emerged, but these right-wing government, the emergence of these right-wing governments was the result of the erosion of the social base of the governments of the Pink Tide. It is not that the mass movement shifted to the right and became rightist, and that's why they voted the right. It was essentially because as the Pink Tide governments applied austerity policies of austerity, they lost part of their social base, which was disoriented, which didn't know what to do. And therefore, the right seized the opportunity. But it's not that there was a shift towards the right in the mass movement. This is very important because it's a combination of right-wing governments that get to power, but without a shift towards the right in the mass movement, which explains the dynamics of the following years. So out of this process emerged, for example, Bolsonaro in Brazil, Macri in Argentina, Lenin Moreno in Ecuador, and different processes in Piñera in Chile, Duque. So, but this contradiction between right-wing governments, but a social base that had not shifted to the right, but was instead disoriented because of the policies of austerity applied by the Pink Tide government, is what explains that these right-wing governments rapidly met resistance, and they could not, we at that point characterized that it was going to be an ephemeral phenomenon. It wasn't going to last very, very long, these right-wing governments, because they had their main task was to crush the mass movement that had come from the previous period strengthened. They had to crush the mass movement to go with to bring in capitalist reforms, and they could not accomplish this task because the mass movement had not yet been defeated. So that is the essential contradiction that marked the period of those right wing governments, and the following years proved that we were correct in thinking that.
Recuerdo haber ido a Sydney y a dar una conferencia sobre estos mismos temas cuando empezó este auge de la derecha, y creo haber pronosticado que iban a durar mucho. Creo que, bueno, que la realidad nos fue dando la razón, porque en el 18 empezó con una rebelión juvenil en Nicaragua, pero en el 2009 un proceso de rebeliones que terminaron o volteando gobiernos, ¿no es cierto?, de derecha, o debilitando al extremo a otros que están sin base social y en un periodo de mucha crisis. Hubo rebeliones en Ecuador, en Perú, en Chile, en Colombia, ¿no? Es el periodo que se inició en el 2019. Nosotros caracterizamos ese periodo como prerrevolucionario, que no nos interesa discutir de definiciones que reflejan que somos distintas corrientes con distinta historia, pero definimos que desde el 19 se abrió un periodo que abarcaba todo el continente y que iba a ser de auge del movimiento de masas y de decadencia de los gobiernos de derecha, e incluso con experiencias populistas muy débiles como para capitalizar, como en el periodo anterior, porque había habido una experiencia del movimiento de masa. Este es un proceso mucho más profundo que el de principio de siglo en el continente. Y bueno, estamos en ese periodo que la pandemia, en un sentido, atemperó, pero no pudo frenar, porque la combinación de la crisis económica más la pandemia generó procesos, ¿no es cierto?, que están continuando y que van a ser mucho más poderoso cuando la pandemia empiece a bajar.
So I remember coming to Sydney and to give a similar talk to this one, also for this conference. And at that moment, in which we were still in the middle of this cycle of more right wing governments, we had said there that this was not going to last long, that the period of their crisis had already started, and the facts of the coming of the years after that proved that it was so. For example, it started in 2018 with the rebellion of the Nicaraguan youth, and then it became much stronger in 2019 with rebellions in Chile, Ecuador, then Peru, Colombia. So what was open there was a period of crisis of these right-wing governments, a period of deep crisis of these right-wing governments with an upsurge in the class struggle at a continental scale. So we had rebellions in different countries around the continent and very an upsurge in general in class struggle. Our party defines this period as a pre-revolutionary situation. But beyond the label, which might reflect that we come from different traditions in terms of what type of concepts or labels we use to understand different moments, beyond this label, what we mean is that there is a continental process of upsurge in the class struggle with rebellions that can break out at any point in the different countries. So there is a continental process of upsurge in class struggle with rebellions, and a period that is characterized by a crisis of the different governments, especially of the governments of the right. So as we saw in Chile and in Colombia. So this is a continental process that is still in progress. The pandemic in 2020, in a certain sense, acted to put this process on hold, on pause, but it did not change the general dynamic because it, as the pandemic in itself, deepened the economic crisis and deepened the political weakness of the different governments. So we think that once the pandemic, there is a turn of the page in terms of the pandemic starts to not be the main issue, we will see again this process starting again in terms of struggle, as we have seen over the previous months that has happened in different countries.
Yo no tengo tiempo para mostrar un poquito cómo han sido algunas características de los procesos, la juventud a la cabeza, métodos mucho más radicalizados incluso que a principios del siglo, el tema de todavía movimientos más populares y la clase obrera, si bien ha intervenido no como clase, por el problema de dirección, pero con un proceso que tiende hacia la izquierda, más allá de las contradicciones, como se ha visto en la Asamblea Constituyente en Chile, la primera línea y el proceso colombiano, la elección de Perú, y creo que hay que incorporar ahora la elección de Argentina, también el proceso abierto en Argentina. Estamos en un momento donde las movilizaciones crecieron en Brasil al punto de que Bolsonaro, todo el mundo sabe de que no tiene fuerza para dar un golpe y al mismo tiempo muy probablemente caiga en las elecciones, si no cae hoy es por la presión de las direcciones, pero hay un proceso completamente nuevo. Y me quiero detener, como me queda poco tiempo, en el proceso de Argentina, que es un proceso que creo que es interesante para la izquierda, para la izquierda revolucionaria mundial.
So I won't have time dig deep into the characteristics of these rebellions, but just to name a few of them. One is that the youth is one of the main protagonists, the youth in general. Also, there is they have a popular character. So the working class participates, but not through its organizations, its own organizations, not through its unions, etc. This is mainly because of the problem of the leadership of the working class movement, the bureaucracy that doesn't allow the working class to participate as such, as an organized working class. So it participates unorganized and dissolved into this general popular character. the methods are much more radicalized even than the cycle, the previous cycle of rebellions, that cycle of 2000, of the early 2000s. So the methods are more radicalized, occupations, assemblies, etc. And there is a tendency towards the left in these movements. So these are some of the characteristics. We have seen these characteristics, for example, in the process that led to the Constituent Assembly, and even the in itself in Chile, the process in Colombia against Duque, and now more recently in the elections in Argentina, for example, and also in the case of Brazil, we have seen a rise in mass mobilization over the past few months, and which have left Bolsonaro very weakened and with the most likely prospect that he will lose in the coming elections, and he could even fall if it wasn't because of the role of the PT and of the trade union bureaucracy that are taking everything towards the electoral road. These are some of the outstanding processes where we can see these characteristics. But as we have not so much time left, I want to speak a bit about the process of Argentina, which is very important for the revolutionary left internationally.
Cada país daría para discutir el proceso, pero hay una Latinoamérica polarizada, hay una derecha que sale débil del ascenso, y hay un problema de dirección en el movimiento de masas, pero las direcciones reformistas también están golpeadas por el proceso anterior. Por lo tanto, hay una oportunidad para la izquierda, aunque en muchos países hay mucha debilidad, y yo creo que en Argentina es donde más condiciones hay desde el punto de vista de la izquierda revolucionaria, y por eso es importante seguir. Venimos de una elección que le ha dado un cachetazo tremendo al gobierno, entre comillas, con elementos populistas, donde ha abierto una crisis política que preanuncia la posibilidad de una crisis que puede terminar en crisis revolucionaria en el próximo periodo, y donde en esta polarización, si bien surge una ultraderecha, La fuerza que más capitaliza la crisis del gobierno es la izquierda, que acaba de sacar 1,5 millones de votos, y la izquierda central es el frente de izquierda que nosotros conformamos junto con otras organizaciones. El frente de izquierda es trotskista, convivimos distintas organizaciones, y aunque tiene proyectos distintos, ¿no es cierto?, es un pequeño polo que ha empezado a capitalizar, aunque viene de antes, en esta elección parte del descontento. Y es un síntoma también de lo que pasa en el continente, aunque en este caso capitalizado por la izquierda revolucionaria.
So, in general terms, we can speak of a continent. Each one of these countries would be a talk in themselves. No, the processes that we have lived in each one of these countries would give material for a talk in themselves. But if we could say a general thing of the continent, we can say that there is a process of polarization, political and social polarization, with the right that comes out weakened from this entire process. And on the other pole, there is the problem of leadership of the mass movement. So the traditional leaderships of the mass movement that were the ones that were protagonists of the pink tide governments in the previous phase are also weakened. So this gives a particular opportunity for the revolutionary left in Latin America to gain more influence and to grow and to be able to gain much more influence in the political situation. So in this general framework, we can analyze the elections in Argentina that happened last Sunday, the primary elections in Argentina, which meant a huge historical defeat for the Peronist government, which is part of this these pink tide governments. So it was a massive defeat for that government, historical defeat for a Peronist government. And out of that process, there is one of the main or the most important facts was the emergence of the left as a national alternative, becoming the third electoral force nationally, obtaining 1.5 million votes. Most of those votes are for the Left Front, which we are a part. So specifically in Argentina, because of the existence of this crisis of leadership, and because of the existence of the Left Front, there is a specific opportunity of growth for the left. This front that obtained 1.5 million votes, the left got 1.5 million votes, most of them for the Left Front, is a front made up of different, which the MST is part of, is made up of different Trotskyist organizations that come from Trotskyist backgrounds. And despite the fact that there are differences and different projects, it has become a small pole of attraction that has the possibility to grow. So that's a very interesting dynamic in the case of Argentina.
En la elección, el que se derrumba es el gobierno del peronismo. Sin embargo, los votos no van a la coalición de derecha que se estanca y que tiene una ruptura por derecha. El grueso de los votos que pierde el gobierno van a una abstención de cerca del 10%, a un porcentaje menor pero importante de 3 o 4% de voto en blanco, y el grueso al crecimiento de la izquierda revolucionaria, que es la que emerge como tercera fuerza nacional, ¿no es cierto?, que preanunciando, ¿no es cierto?, lo que se viene, porque estamos en un momento donde el gobierno acaba de recibir un golpe y está cerrando un acuerdo con el FMI que implica un ajuste brutal, y nosotros creemos que Argentina va a ir a la tónica latinoamericana, pero con un componente subjetivo distinto al resto, que es esta acumulación. Más allá de que esto no quiere decir de que el frente de izquierda sea de por sí una garantía, porque hay dos proyectos. Uno, sectario, que nosotros hemos empezado a combatir, y por eso en estas elecciones participamos en una interna, nosotros solos un poco contra el resto, pero que hemos salido fortalecido porque hemos logrado el 30% solos como partido dentro del frente, lo cual pone en un debate al resto de los compañeros de cómo se divide el resto, ¿no es cierto?, de los compañeros. Pero nosotros creemos que empezamos a dar un debate que es crucial porque estamos ante una oportunidad enorme en Argentina, pero de cómo lo resolvamos a esa contradicción dependerá que podamos seguir avanzando o que también podamos estancarnos. Entonces, yo no sé, creo que estoy en tiempo, pero a lo mejor después con las preguntas, ¿no es cierto?, de los compañeros puede ser que se profundice, porque hay procesos interesantes en Brasil, porque ahí también surgió una alternativa que es el PSOL, que tiene un debate entre un ala más de derecha y un ala más revolucionaria. Hay un debate importante en Perú, donde hay un proceso nuevo. Castillo no es, más allá de que es muy contradictorio, no es lo mismo que los populismos de la etapa anterior. En Chile hay todo un proceso que puede, o sea, que sobrepasa a las direcciones de la izquierda tradicional. En Colombia hay una primera línea y hay mucha ruptura de las organizaciones revolucionarias. Nosotros estamos percibiendo un proceso de ruptura, pero a su vez de tendencias a unificarse y siguen con mucha atención el proceso de la LIS, que es un proceso muy interesante de agrupamiento de distintas tradiciones, pero con un proyecto común. Así que yo voy a parar acá, porque lo puse en aprietos al pobre Luis para traducir todo, pero bueno, espero que con preguntas o con eso se pueda avanzar. No sé cuánto tiempo usamos, Luis, estamos en tiempo, pero bueno.
En tiempo. So, a couple of things, just to round up. In the elections in Argentina, which are very interesting because they are part of the dynamic of what is to come in the following period in Latin America, it is important to say that the government, the Peronist government in Argentina, lost the election, lost a lot of votes compared to previous election, but those votes did not go to the right. So the amount of votes of the government collapsed, but the right did not grow electorally. Instead, most of the votes that the government lost, around 10%, went to abstentions now, people that did not go to vote, which just reflects also that there is a lot of anger because the vote is mandatory in Argentina. So, but people decided not to go. There was a 3 or 4% of blank vote as well. And the rest went to the left, which explains why the left emerged as a third force with more than 1 million, almost 1.5 million votes. There was also an emergence to the right, which also had some growth, but it's not the most dynamic element of the reality. And this is very important for what is to come, because now a very weakened government with a very strong left opposition has to go towards, is negotiating at present, an agreement with the IMF, which will mean more austerity policies, which will mean that the fuel that is feeding this growth of the left and this rage against the government and everything is going to grow because the agreement with the IMF will mean more austerity for the general population. So Argentina will get in tone with this general situation of the continent where there is an upsurge of class struggle, it's going to get in tone with a general situation, but with one particular difference, that is this subjective element that is the existence of the left front. And this is not because the left front is in itself perfect and does everything right. We think that within the left front, there are different perspectives, in general, two different perspectives, that we think there's one that is more sectarian, and then there's another one which we embody, the MST. So that's why there were two different lists within the primaries of the left front, and we did a very good election for the first time in this the first time we went to these primaries, getting about 30% of the vote inside the primaries, the MST. So there is a huge opportunity in Argentina for the left, for the revolutionary left, if it is capable of overcoming some of its sectarian problems and becoming an alternative for this situation. So any of these processes would allow for...
Explica que esto cambió la relación de fuerza dentro del frente, precisamente porque el resto es un agrupamiento de muchos que no se sabe quién tiene más de 30, por lo tanto cambió, es muy importante para lo que se viene.
So this is a very important thing because it has also there is the electoral result has changed the distribution of forces within the left, because the MST emerges with 30% of the vote, and the rest of the vote is not clear how it is distributed between different forces. There are three major and then smaller groups that make up the other list. So there is a change in that sense, which is important for what is to come. So when there is not much more time, but hopefully with questions and things, we can speak more of this. Also, the PSOL, where there are reformist and revolutionary sectors that are within this party in Peru with Castillo, which is very contradictory, but it's not exactly the same as the previous pink tide governments, although it is extremely contradictory. In the case of Chile, with the constitutional process and the whole rebellion, this has exceeded the strength of the traditional left. It has completely exceeded the role of the traditional left. And also in Colombia, where there have been new developments in terms of the left, ruptures, but mergers, splits, new organizations coming up, some of them very interesting. We have in the International Socialist League comrades in Colombia, and some of them are are coming towards the project of the International Socialist League, because in this we think that there is an important thing, that is the possibility of regrouping comrades that come from revolutionary sectors but from different traditions, which is the way we think to move forward in this conjuncture in Latin America and in different parts of the world. So that will be it. I hope we have time with the questions and everything.
Está, decirle que está interesante Latinoamérica.
Yes,
se volvió interesante.
It's in a very interesting moment.
Indeed. Thanks for that.